ABC Radio Australia.
And here to Papua New Guinea, Police Commissioner David Manning has ordered that 8 suspects accused of the torture and murder of a woman accused of practicing sorcery be rearrested after they were released from police custody. The brutal killing of Rosa Yakapus has sparked outrage from PNG's leaders and the public. However, her alleged killers walked free following a court order after the suspects were held for more than 2 weeks without charge. Meanwhile, Commissioner Manning said police were also facing opposition from the community of the victim who were hiding other suspects. Joining me now to speak about the impact, this is Angela Upper, who works assisting victims of sorcery-related violence for COOP Women for Peace. Angela, good morning. Good morning and welcome to the show. Angela, what was your reaction and that of the communities you work with when you heard that the suspects of Rosa Yakapu's killing had been released?
Good morning, Belinda. Am I right to calling you like this?
Yes, good morning to you, Angela.
Oh, nice talking to you. I'm happy. Well, when I first heard there was a woman being tortured and accused of sorcery, I really felt bad. And due to, you know, in the Highlands, trouble fighting, women were accused of sorcery and they were killed also. So when this was done publicly, it really, you know, brought all the women in tears, and we didn't feel safe to go around in the street. So that's why, and also we felt that we shouldn't be helping other people, because if we give them kai kai to eat or anything like that, they will accuse us of sorcery. And so I felt that it was not fair. And it was inhuman to cause a woman to die. So this is how I felt. And not really good, eh? And also when it was on the news, I felt that that was too much. And also, South can other people around the world will think that, you know, we PNG people are violent and it's unsafe for people to come to PNG. And people did not trust each other, especially in our homes. And stuff goes, you know, also go against the word of God. Eh?
Very true, Angela, and thank you very much for sharing that.
It also causes, you know, trauma to us all women.
Yeah.
Very sorry,
okay,
Angela.
I'm listening.
Yes. Can you explain this kind of message this sends to both survivors and perpetrators of sorcery accusation-related violence across Papua New Guinea?
You come again?
Can you just explain the kind of message this now sends to both survivors and perpetrators of sorcery accusation-related violence across the country?
This message I want to say is that, especially the survivors of sorcery accusation-related violence, is not good, and it's, as I said, we are building hatred. And we don't want to help is because in our society, we are supposed to be helping each other. But now the survivors feel that it's unsafe for them to help each other. That's for the survivors, and they don't feel safe, as I said. But the perpetrators, the perpetrators, they are being, the justice is not being, you know, they're not justifying it. The perpetrators are walking free and they are not being judged properly. They are going off. They're walking off. And they need to deal that effectively with the law and justice should deal effectively with the perpetrators of violence to sorcery, so that when they see justice being done and given a term, I think other people will learn from that and they will stop accusing other people for sorcery.
Okay, Angela, we've heard the suspects were released on a technicality because they weren't formally charged. How common is it for cases like this to collapse at the legal or the police level?
I would know so much as a local person, as an advocate and a trainer in the community on self education. From my experiences, some are released and the survivors themselves ask for mediation, peace mediation, because if they go through the case, sometimes, you know, they will arrest and send the perpetrator to jail, and they will not feel safe to go back home.
Leaving their property behind, and they want to make peace so that they will go back to their own area where they will have learned to survive on, even though they have been accused and they have been tortured and they have trauma. But if we repatriate them to other places, they will not be as free to access the land. Okay, with the police, sometimes they are being, I will not really say, sometimes they may be bribed to release the perpetrator. Secondly, people are afraid. That's why the survivors don't go to court, and then the perpetrator is released maybe after 10, you know, attending the case. Because there are certain things. One, the condition.
Okay.
Two, and then the other one is they don't have money to go and go further cases for, you know, to search the perpetrator. There are certain things, and that they are, you know, I think these are the main obstacle that is making the police release the survivors of social accusation-related violence.
Okay, thank you very much, Angela, for that. What changes would you like to see from police and the courts or the government to stop this from happening again?
I would like to see the changes, as I have mentioned. The criminal code that is being printed out or that is being sent out should be mentioned and advocate and teach at the local communities seriously about the law that will have impact on the perpetrators, so that people need information in the village. People need to be educated on the staff. And then there should be a stronger, you know, this law that is being now happening, like code, criminal, staff-related violence, is staff-accusation-related violence is a crime. And they need criminal code, if that should be taken seriously and charge the perpetrator, other people will learn from this.
Okay.
Accusing other people for source-related violence. And that is to be one. That is, one is to do it seriously with the law. Two, we need more advocates. We need more community curriculum. We need more people to be aware of the law. We need to bring the information out in the remote areas, because, and even in the towns, people need to be seriously educated and about SARP, because it's, when we talk about SARP, it's stopping development. It's stopping from, in the eyes of other parts of the world, we are not, you know, it's not safe for them to come in and do their business and all this. It also stops the development in Papua New Guinea. And we are recognized as bad people. So I seriously have two options. I mean, two suggestions. One, seriously, you know, justice to be taken against these perpetrators. Two, people like KWP and other CSOs on the ground, we are doing this work, should be promoted and should be supported for more advocacy, for more education to be delivered to the people at the village and community.
Okay, thank you very much, Angela, for that. That was Angela Apa, coordinator of COOP Women for Peace, speaking with me there.